this story of the bridesmaid. It's used to help us understand what it will be like when Jesus comes back, what it will be like in the kingdom of heaven. And the basic message is be vigilant, be ready for when he does come back. What do you think? If Jesus were to come back today, do you think you would be ready? I think I'm as ready as I'll ever be, because I don't think you can fully be ready for that. Sometimes, you remember when you were young? Oh, sorry, I don't mean to say you're not young. Remember maybe when you were a teenager? You thought you had plenty of time, right? Life had all these opportunities that, you know, I'm going to go away for college when I'm 18. I'm going to, by the time in my 20s, I'm going to have a good job, and I'm going to have a good, buy a house, be married by 30, travel by 40s, and on it goes. You remember those plans? I do. And now I hear some of the young kids talk about it, and I just laugh. Because life is so uncertain. We make plans, but life often has a different path for us. Proverbs 16, verse 9 puts it this way. The heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. That means we can plan all we want, but ultimately the only one in charge is God. You know, I've heard a lot of folks share with me over the years that, you know, I want to come back to church. I want to grow in my faith. I want to become active. I want to do this, but right now I'm busy. You know, once my kids are older, once I'm retired, once I have more time, I will come back to God. Well, there are also many conversations I've had with people who have dealt with things that happen all of a sudden, health-wise, family-wise, career-wise, that just stop them in their tracks. And all those plans that they had in their hearts, well, guess what? They didn't pan out. And here they were, seeking God. But the good news is, my friends, God is always, always, always ready to welcome us back. God actually longs for us to come back to him, because he wants us to be reconnected to the power source that only he can give us, the oil that can't be bought. That is the Holy Spirit, my friends, who powers us from the inside out. That's what God wants. How do I know this? I know this because we look at what God has done for us in Jesus. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him may have eternal life and not perish. That's why Jesus came, my friends, to reconnect us to the power, to the saving grace that we have in Jesus. Because here's the thing, to get into the kingdom of heaven, there's only one key that can get us in, and that's Jesus, my friends. Nothing you and I can do can get us into that kingdom party. I know the kids were ready to party, weren't they? But they haven't, well, I haven't either, but they haven't truly experienced or understood what it is like to be in God's presence. You know, I've had those moments where I felt the Holy Spirit, where I felt the presence of God, and it's amazing. But then I open my eyes and I come back to earth, and all the things that we deal with come crashing and depleting and taking away all that God has filled us with. Have you ever been there? Maybe you've had great worship. Maybe you felt closer to God than ever. And then out you walk through these doors, and then the world just kind of comes at you, and you are empty and you are tired. So here's the good news, if you've ever felt that way, that God wants to give us something better. And that better only comes when we invite him into our hearts, and that's through Jesus. Even though Jesus ascended back to heaven, he did his work here, so he did what he came to do, and then he promises us help, the Holy Spirit. So today, let's talk about this oil. This oil that Jesus is trying to help us understand that we need to get into the kingdom of God. Because that's what the story was today, right? Jesus talks about the kingdom of heaven. He says that he gives us the story of the 10 bridesmaids. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish, because The foolish ones didn't have enough oil, and they missed their chance of getting into the kingdom of heaven, the banquet, the wedding feast. And you know, the last thing that Marlena, you read, it was when they came, the bridegroom opened the door and says, "I don't know you." And that seems harsh, right? I mean, God loves each one of us. So if Jesus died for the forgiveness of our sins, if Jesus died so that we could enter into the kingdom of heaven, why would he shut us out? My friends, Jesus has done all the work for us to get into the kingdom of heaven. But he invites us to do our part. We do have a role to play. And even the role that we play, which is to make sure that we have enough oil, even that oil comes from God, the Holy Spirit. God has done everything that is needed for us to be ready to enter into that kingdom. So today, as we come together, let us consider what our role is. What is this oil that we need that cannot be bought on our own merits, on our own efforts, that cannot be found on this earth, but that God wants to give to us? Let us pray as we consider what God wants to say to us today. Holy God, help us to understand and live the way that you want us to live. Help us to receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Help us to be open to the Holy Spirit that Jesus promises to us, who will light us from the inside, who would give us strength to persevere until it is our time to enter into your kingdom. Lord, we cannot do this on our own. So come, Holy Spirit, speak to each one of us here so we hear this message and understand it for our lives. In Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. So today, there are two things I want to focus on. One is that the invitation to this party is for all, to the kingdom, is for every single person. The second thing we learn, and this is the important part I think that we need to grasp, which is being prepared, being ready, being vigilant, making sure that we have enough oil in our lamps for when he comes. So let's talk about the first part. The 10 young women, the bridesmaids, you know, they all started off the same. They were all invited to the wedding banquet. None of them knew the time when the bridegroom would come. They were all in the same boat. In fact, they all became tired and drowsy, and physically speaking, they had the same limitations, the same problem. So what that tells us, my friends, is that all of us are in the same boat. Sometimes we make the mistake of saying, oh, well, this person, they're closer to God. They're more religious. Oh, you know what? They've got an advantage. They grew up in the church, or they know how it works. Not true, my friends. We are all given the same invitation to enter this God's kingdom. And Jesus came for that reason. Remember John 3:16 that I read, or I recited a few minutes ago? And here's the amplified version. It's the same idea, but it's a little more embellished. So let me read the amplified version to you. For God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that he even gave up his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in, trusts in, clings to, holds on to, relies on Jesus, on him, shall not perish, meaning come to destruction, be lost, be separated from God. That's what destruction means. But have eternal, everlasting life. Amen. My friends, it bears repeating this verse. It bears bringing out, because sometimes we say scripture so fast that what they really mean, it escapes our understanding. Just think about the fact that you are loved so much that God took on human form to come to this earth so you would not be lost without him, that I would not be lost without him. That is an amazing thing if we consider, because no other religion has a God who loves them that much. In fact, most religions, and I'm not here to bash religions, I'm just comparing and sharing with you what is out there. Most religions, they have a God who expects them to do this, do that, to be worthy enough. for whatever it is that they're looking for. My friends, anyone here perfect? Certainly not me. I try with good intentions, but I fail all the time. None of us are perfect. None of us can be worthy to be in God's presence. But the good news is that the God you and I serve, the God who loves us, came to this earth to bring us back into his presence when we turned away. And the fact is, you and I are the ones who have sinned. We have turned away from God. Any time and every time we choose to do things our way, we choose to become gods of our lives. Anytime we put anything above God, we put that as a god. Whether it be money, success, whether it be our children, our families, even good things. If we put that before God, that becomes God, my friends. So we need to be very careful that only God can be God. And as I said, in Christ we have a God who loves us so much that he came to this earth to tell us. You know, I talked about sometimes us thinking that other people are more, they're better than us, they're spiritually stronger, so they're closer to God. Well, on the other side, what we do is, you know, we put ourselves sometimes in such a category that we feel we're too far from God. We've done so many things that are so horrible, so bad, that we can never get back to God. We, you know, you've heard the saying that sometimes people say, if I go to the church, the roof's going to collapse. You've heard that, right? Well, what they're saying in essence is that there's no hope for them, that they are so far from God that they can't be redeemed. But that's not true. Hear what Paul says to us in Galatians 3, verse 26 and 27. He says, so in Christ Jesus, you are all, my friends, children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. This is Paul saying this. Paul, by the way, who was also known as Saul before he encountered Jesus, was the very person who persecuted Christians. He even held the coats of the ones who stoned Stephen to death. Stephen was a follower of Christ, and he was telling people about Christ. Paul, well, at that time he was Saul, held the coats while they killed and stoned a follower of Jesus. You think this person didn't think that they wronged God? He persecuted the ones who followed Christ, but he was redeemed because he finally, on the road to Damascus, encountered Jesus. And he accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior. And so, as he accepted Jesus, God gave him the strength. God gave him visions through the Holy Spirit so that Paul, no longer Saul, he was transformed into one who was going to tell others about this awesome news of a God who had saved him and who wants to save us. Amen. Paul was ready to give his life for this news. You know why? Because he encountered the joy and hope you can't find in anything else. Here's the thing. When Paul was in jail, I mean, in the Bible we read about how many times Paul was shipwrecked, beaten with rods, and left for dead. But he persevered because God gave him the strength that he could not do on his own. But God gave him the strength through the Holy Spirit to continue to tell others, so that not just Jews, but Gentiles, meaning all those who are not part of the chosen, who are not part of the church, could hear the good news, and that's you and I. So we have to be very careful of not keeping this awesome news to ourselves. My friends, sometimes we come in our church, we're sitting in our pews, we're comfortable, and then that's as far as our faith goes. During the week, we go on to our routine and we do our things, but we forget that we are called. We are given this invitation to the kingdom because we're supposed to go out and tell others about this invitation to this kingdom. We can't get around to it when we get around to it, because when Christ comes again, he's going to ask each one of us how we live the mission. That if we call him our Lord and Savior, did we truly live as if he was our Lord and Savior? Because as we heard today in the scriptures, the bridegroom, Jesus, will say, get away from me, for I do not know you. In another place, Jesus says clearly, you know, those who call me Lord and Lord, but if you don't do what I say, if you don't really follow what I say, if you don't believe in me, if you don't rely on me, if you don't trust in me, then I am not truly your Lord, because you have other things that are your gods. Make no mistake, God sees our hearts. He knows what we put first. Our words mean nothing if they're not followed through by actions. But the good news is God means what he says. God does what he says he will do. And in Jesus, God promised us a Savior through the prophets. And in due time, Jesus came so that all would be invited and reconciled into his kingdom. So that's the first thing we learn about this through this parable, my friends, that all are invited. You are invited into this kingdom. Don't take this invitation lightly. So once we accept that invitation, that's the first part, right? God has done the work. We accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And really, if you haven't truly accepted him as your Savior, it's as simple as saying, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, come into my life. Help me believe in you. Help me to trust in you so that where I can't do this on my own, you come in and fill me with your Holy Spirit so that I can truly live as your child. I say it's simple, but it's not that simple. It's a lifelong process, my friends. You know, when we come to our time of prayer, I invite you to come and kneel. If in your heart you need that refilling, if you need that assurance that God is with you and that Jesus has died for you, if you need that, you can pray in your seats too, of course. But I pray that you would take that invitation and that response that you need to have seriously. Amen. The second part. Once we accept the invitation, here comes the part about the oil. This is the part where this oil can't be bought. It cannot be found in anything on this earth. It can only come through the Holy Spirit. This week I learned the importance of oil. So I don't know if you know, but we had some work done in the parsonage. The oil burner was leaking, it was old, and, you know, inefficient. So it needed to be replaced. And if you're going to do that, well, you're going to have to shut the oil off, the oil burner off, right? Well, guess what? It was a little cold this week, just a little. And so the things that I took for granted, right? Turn up the heat, you press a button, and up it goes. Well, that didn't happen for me. But thank God for space heater, so I was fine. I'm not, you know, don't worry about me. I was good. We were fine. But when you don't have something, you realize its importance, don't you? When you don't have oil, you realize how much you took it for granted. My friends, when you and I are running on empty, and I'm sure each one of us have come to those points where we're running on empty, we need to understand that there's a better way. That we don't have to run on empty. That God can give us the strength that we need through the Holy Spirit. Jesus tells us that this oil that he's talking about, the one that Jesus gives to us is going to light us from the inside out so that we're ready to enter into the kingdom of heaven. As vigilant and as ready as you and I think we are, as the bridesmaids were, remember they were all tired. Even the ones with the oil, they fell asleep. So even if you and I have a relationship with God, we've encountered Christ and we have the Holy Spirit, guess what? We all have the same limitations, and I'm going to get just as tired of waiting for Jesus as is someone who might not have a close relationship with Jesus. We're all in the same boat, my friends. We're all running on limited strength. But again, today the good news we hear is that as when our strength runs out, when we can't go on anymore, it's the power of the Holy Spirit that will light our way for when Christ comes again. And make no mistake, Christ will come again. Every promise that God has made through us in the Scriptures, if you read the Old Testament, it's a promise one after the other about the coming of the Messiah. You know, during Advent, we're going to read about the prophet Isaiah, Jeremiah. You know, the light has shone in the darkness. We are reminded that the promises that God has given to us came true in Jesus. And Jesus promises us that he will come again. What do we read today? No one knows the day nor the hour, but Christ will come again, my friends. And when he comes, will we be ready? The question for us is that, are we filled with the oil that will help us to be ready? Remember, my friends, it will be too late when he comes. There will not be enough time to run out and get oil. But now we have time. And so, as we hear the message today, let's understand that this Holy Spirit, He's ready to come into each one of us if we but ask. Here's what Jesus tells us in John 14, verse 16 and 17. I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot receive Him because it neither sees Him or knows Him. But you, my friends, you do know Him, for He abides with you and will be in you. And you know the Holy Spirit because you know Christ. And if you open your hearts to Christ, my friends, continue to seek Him. And don't put other things first. The Holy Spirit will enter in and give you that knowledge, that power, that strength to help us get through all these things in life so that we can enter into the kingdom of heaven when it is time. Oil is what gives the lamp the power to be lit, and it is the Holy Spirit who will give us power from the inside out when we're tired and when we will fall asleep on our faith. There will come a time when we will run out of steam. But thanks be to God, my friends, who never runs out of light, who is always ready to light us. And as we consider our faith journey, my friends, remember one thing, two things. Remember that God has invited all of us into His kingdom. Remember that in the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, you and I can have strength in spite of the darkness of this world. We can have light through Christ, through the Holy Spirit, who would lead us to that eternal life. And as we consider that, as we hold on to that, hear the promise in Revelation 21, 23, verse 23. That God's power will never run out, where the city does not need the sun, nor the moon to shine on it, because the glory of God illuminates it, and the lamp is the Lamb. My friends, I can't wait for this new city to come, where Christ is the power, the lamp that we need, the Lamb of God, who was sufficient to do that work, to take away our sins, which separate us from God. My friends, I pray that each one of us will choose Christ's power, the Holy Spirit, to empower us so that we can be ready for when He comes again. Amen.